Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And by the way, if you want to continue the discussion about Obama and his reaction to the Supreme Court rulings last week, you can do so on our webpage. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show for our active comments page on that. But the New York City budget passed last night, not without a lot of controversy. It was officially adopted at about 11 p.m. by a 49-1 city council vote. Charles Barron from Brooklyn, in case you were wondering. Critics say that the budget squeezes social service agencies serving the poorest New Yorkers. Some of those programs it will affect include senior centers, HIV prevention programs, summer jobs for teens, and tenant groups, according to the Daily News today. We have City Council Speaker Christine Quinn on to talk about this contentious budget process in tough times. It did restore funding for the New York City public schools. It did keep the property tax cut in place. Speaker Quinn, welcome back to WNYC. How are you?
I'm well. Good morning.
Did I describe it accurately, more or less?
More or less.
Where would you start? What would you add or subtract or change?
Well, you know, I think the thing you said that is perhaps most important and most accurate is the characterization of this as tough times. And there are tough times. You know, we've been lucky. The past four budgets have been budgets where we have had back-to-back projected and then actual surpluses. This year, those days have ended, sadly. And what we're faced with is tomorrow will begin fiscal year 2009. 2010, the year that will follow, it is projected to have a multi-billion dollar deficit. That's after we prepay billion dollars worth of its bills. So what we had to recognize in this year's budget is that the recession, it has come to New York. It is having an impact, and we are now back in the position where we had more bills than we had cash to pay them. And we have to make sure we begin to buttress ourselves for the next year, which could really be devastating. So we didn't in the council get to restore as many of the mayor's cuts as we would have liked. We didn't get to do that for a couple of reasons. One, responsibly we couldn't, because we needed to begin to get our spending in line with our revenues. We also, in any negotiation, you don't get everything that you wanted. Now, we had about $700 million worth of cuts of which the mayor proposed we were concerned. In our negotiations with the mayor, we were able to restore about $412 million of those. The one I think we were all most proud of is the one you mentioned. We were able to restore money that prevents there being any cuts in the classroom in public schools when the new school year begins. I think that's very significant. I also think that although we would all have liked to have restored more social service programs and community programs, the mayor was right when he gave all of us in government a charge to keep the budget flat, make sure our spending didn't go up, because times are going to get worse. And we're really all going to need to be vigilant to make sure we don't have to make further cuts as the year moves along.
What about the property tax reduction or rebate? When we had tough times in the city, when Mayor Bloomberg first took office, he increased property taxes in order to keep basic services operating at a reasonable level. Now it looks like you and he agreed to restore the lower property taxes that had been restored in recent years through the rebates, and you chose that over fully funding social services.
Well, a couple of just one point that I think is a little bit different, Brian, than what you said, than what the actual situation was, is when the mayor first took office, we cut spending and we raised property taxes. Over the past 4 years, we in the city council with the mayor have greatly expanded funding to social service programs, many of those which we couldn't fully restore last night. So the choice we were in now was to scale back spending closer to where it was a couple of years ago and to try to keep and to keep the property tax in place to keep money in people's pockets. But again, if times get worse, all of these decisions might have to get looked at again.
So you're saying the Bloomberg years, the Bloomberg Quinn years to some degree, have been big spending years.
No, I think they've been years that appropriately, when we had resources, we invested in places that those resources could make a difference. And when you have those resources, that's good to do when you're also planning for the future. And last year, when we did make investments in social services and bring the property taxes down, we also prepaid $2 billion worth of the next fiscal year's bill. So we had enough money, we could do all of those things. To do one and not the other would be irresponsible. That's not what we did. What we're doing here now is kind of the first phase of what you have to do when you're in a recession is look at where you were able to raise spending and begin to scale it back.
New York City Council Speaker Christine Quinn with me on WNYC talking about some of the tough choices they made in the budget vote passed last night. The new fiscal year begins July 1st each year in New York City, which is tomorrow. So they squeeze this in under the deadline, as they usually do, I think, at all levels of government. What was the toughest choice or toughest few choices that you had to make? Just very specifically, some of the particular programs or agencies that are going to feel the pinch here.
Well, I mean, you know, they were all tough. Obviously, I was the health committee chair for 4 years, so I have a particular interest in public health. So I didn't like having to cut any of the public health programs. We are lucky that our Health and Hospitals Corporation next year has a $1 billion surplus, and we're going to work closely with them to make sure that we're able to use that surplus wisely to try to keep services as largely consistent a level as possible. But we have to understand there will be years when they don't have a surplus, and we won't be able to call on them for that extra help, as I believe we will be able to do this year.
But to be specific, I mean, I'm just looking at the general list in the Daily News here today of what's being cut: AIDS prevention, summer jobs for teens, senior centers, and programs that help tenants facing eviction.
Yeah, can I just have one thing, Ryan, that's important to note is, you know, with something like summer jobs, we were able to restore probably 80 to 85% of the summer jobs that were cut out in the executive budget. So although I would, as our youth chair, Lou Fidler, would definitely, we would like to have restored all of those, but it is significant to know that the budget that was passed last night has far more summer jobs than the budget that was introduced in its form in the executive budget. But obviously we would like to have provided a summer job to every young person who wanted one.
You held your coalition together incredibly well. 49-1 was this final vote. But Charles Barron, a very prominent member of City Council and someone who I believe is running for public advocate for next year, said, look, he couldn't do this. He had to take a principled stand and say he's not going to cut services to the neediest among us to preserve property tax rebates and other things. What do you say to Charles Barron? Did we lose Speaker Quinn? Did her line go down? All right. I think we're going to have to call Speaker Quinn back. We had okay. I heard that beeping on her line, and then she went back. We're going to get her – went down. We're going to get her right back. Meanwhile, when she comes back, I'm going to ask her about this headline in the Daily News yesterday. I lost budget cut fight with Mike, Quinn says. I lost budget cut fight with Mike, Quinn says. That was the headline in the Daily News yesterday. Speaker Quinn, you're back there, right?
Yes, you said Charles Barron and my phone died. No, I'm only kidding. Sorry, I just put a new battery in my home phone, and I guess I didn't let it charge long enough. I apologize.
People are listening. You make that joke. But okay, so what do you say? You know, his position, he took a principal stand. He couldn't cut services to the neediest when we're reducing taxes and things like that. What do you say?
I understand Charles's position, and I certainly, you know, respect anyone who votes their conscience in the city council. These were tough times. We'll be in tough times to continue, and we had to make tough decisions. Everything in a budget, everything in government is a balance. It was important to us that we were able to put money back into the classroom. it was also important to us that a time when gas prices are rising, when food prices are rising, that we did what we could to keep a small amount of money, extra money, in New Yorkers' pockets. Because in essence, the property tax rebate and keeping the rate down, that's what it does, is it puts a little more money in people's pocket at a time when everything else is sucking money out of their pockets. And I hope we'll be able to continue to give folks that tax breaks. And this property tax break, it isn't a tax break targeted at those who can, you know, most afford it. It's not a tax break to multimillionaires or something like that. It's an across-the-board tax that all homeowners pay. And I'm proud we were able to keep that at the lower rate we set last year while also restoring $412 million worth of things we cared about, like public schools. Also, you know, our public housing faces a real financial challenge. We've been abandoned financially by the federal government. There's no two ways about that. And we were able in the council to put in $18 million. We believe that money will help keep at least a quarter of the community centers in NYCHA open. Would we like to have had the money to keep them all open? Absolutely. But
a quarter? Does that mean three quarters of the community centers in public housing projects are going to close?
There may have to be, unless we get some help from the federal government. That the reality is that NYCHA says they may have to scale back some of their community centers. They're not saying they're definitely going to, but the $18 million is certainly enough to keep at least a quarter open.
We're going
to
run out of time here in a minute. The Daily News headline from yesterday that I cited just before this vote, "I lost budget cut fight with Mike," Quinn says.
I never said that. I think that's an inaccurate inaccurate headline. There are no the winning and losing in this budget is about the fact that we don't have enough resources today to win every challenge we want, the challenges being the restorations of the cuts. What got lost here was not being able to put enough money back in, not because one politician beat another politician, but because we don't, in the long term, over the next 2 years, have the revenues. That was just one of those typical, no disrespect to you, Brian, press headlines that likes to boil government down to, you know, a prize fight. And
any criticism against anybody in the media, I always take it personally. I don't care if Fox News. No, I'm kidding. but some of the specifics, the American Museum of Natural History, I'm hearing, will face the biggest total cut. It's probably not what people think of first as funded by the city, but the Museum of Natural History, $2 million cut, which it could force it to lay off 50 people. According to what I've said, one other one, Brooklyn Perinatal Network, one of 42 groups battling infant mortality that received a total of $1.1 million less than anticipated.
Yeah, I'm not sure the perinatal, I know they had a lot of quotes in the paper say, I'm not sure their numbers about the impact on them is correct, because the cut to infant mortality was done in a fairly specific way to try to protect the community groups versus some of the other services. So I think that number might be inaccurate. We're certainly going to be meeting with all of the organizations that got cut over the next couple of weeks to make sure they understand the exact nature of the cuts, and also to talk about how we can all work together over the next 2 years, and it is going to be a two-year frame, how we can all work together to get through these tough times and try to keep doing our work with less resources.
Natural history number accurate?
It could be accurate, unfortunately. I'm not 100% sure. It very well could be. They got a very significant portion of the security funds. There were extra security funds put into the budget about 2 or 3 years ago to help museums hire extra security guards, and the Museum of Natural History, because it had gotten some threats in the past, got a sizable amount of that.
Who would threaten the Museum of Natural History? Who wants to hurt some dinosaur bones?
You know, I can't speak to that, but the facts are there were reports of threats, and we were glad we were able to help them deal with their security challenges over the past couple of years, and we will do what we can to try to work with them to try to find additional resources. But unfortunately, as important as our cultural institutions are to the economy and well-being of this city, which they are, there weren't the ability to continue that commitment of extra money for security over the next year. That's one of those things that it was a really good idea for government to invest in, and when we had the money, we did. The worst thing we could do is tell the Museum of Natural History yesterday, here's $2 million, and then 3 months from now say, sorry. And take it back.
Well, final thing then, kind of on that point, because I remember a few months ago we were talking about, you and I, how the mayor and you were trying to revamp and eliminate the cut and restoration dance, as I think the mayor called it, so that nonprofits don't have to bite their nails every year when, oh, we're going to have to cut the libraries, we're going to have to cut this and cut that, and then there's this whole dance, cut and restoration dance, and you get to restore most of it. But isn't that exactly what happened?
Well, in some ways it is, in some ways it isn't. That dance is particularly offensive when there's real back-to-back surpluses and there's no need for it. This year, there was unfortunately the reality we had to make cuts. That said, I think the fact that the mayor, and not just this mayor, all mayors, kind of separates out the council priorities, in this case 300 of the 700 million, from the rest of the budget, puts those programs at greater peril. And I think it's a bad way to budget, because then you don't include things like museum security in the overall calculation of the Department of Cultural Affairs. You don't include the perinatal network in the overall calculation of the Department of Health, which does put the things that are historic council priorities at greater risk, because the mayor zeroes them out, meaning we have to then restore all of them. And I hope that one of the things we learn from this year's budget is the mayor and I have to really work harder, and this does fall a bit to the mayor's side, to step up more aggressively, to work harder to stop the dysfunctional way of this budget dance, which really doesn't allow a comprehensive oversight of agency funding programs. And I think the security example is a very good one.
New York City Council Speaker Christine Quinn, I know you were up late with this budget last night. Thanks for coming on with us early today.
Thank you. Sorry for the phone problem.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, we will debate artificial turf. It's green like grass. It's soft and gentle underfoot. It's transforming some concrete playgrounds into much nicer spaces. But is this stuff safe? Stay with us.